Yes.
All right. Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Carnell.
I'm Banny.
And I'm Kevin.
All right. So this episode, we're going to sit down to four beer that Kevin's brought. So why don't you tell us about the beers here?
Well, I guess I should say I'm Kevin. I'm from Silver Valley Brewing. So I should probably say where we're getting them from. winter is my favorite time of year. So I thought I'd bring some of our winter beers. And also, we have two of our anniversary beers, too. Because we just had our second year anniversary.
Really?
So,
it's only been 2 years?
Yeah, right? it feels like at least five.
Right?
Yeah. But
congratulations.
Thank you very much. I don't know what order you guys want to do it in. They're all
dealer's choice.
All right. Well, we have a limited release, which is canned for on-site only. It's called Piece of Pie. It's a salted butter pecan stout.
Ooh.
And it was a collaboration that I did with Tim over at Good Buddy Brewing, who also is the head brewer for Tin House, a new brewery that just opened up in Port Coquitlam.
Oh. Right.
And so this guy is... Yeah, they make good stuff, man.
I was surprised. It was actually pretty decent for a place that just opened.
They're really starting. Tim's he's a real capable brewer. I knew him back. I first met him back when we were doing that SFU continuing education course together.
Yeah.
And he was a cellarman at P49 at the time.
Really? Okay.
And he worked his way up through P49. Yeah. He was working at Strange Fellows, and he was Good Buddy Brewing out of Calistoga. For a while, and so now he is still continuing the Good Buddy, but I think it's taking a little bit of a backseat until Tin House kind of gets their footing and
right.
stuff. But he has a peach sour, I think, out right now that's supposed to be great. So check those guys out for sure. So we have this guy here, and this guy we actually used pecan pies in the mash.
Really?
Yes, we did. And it was, and then we also added some pecan flavoring as well because we didn't get the flavor we wanted out of it. The next one we have is Madness. It is our double IPA. It's a 9%er, 80 IBU.
Nice and light.
Nice and light. You'll notice that this is actually clear. So it is a clear double IPA, more of an old school West Coasty clear double IPA.
Nice.
Then we have our first of our second anniversary beers. We have brewed this one before, but it was really popular. And it was Supermassive Black Hole, which is our coffee bourbon stout. It is a 7.5%er. It is 50 IBU. It's one of my favorite beers. And then we have our first ever barley wine we've ever made. This was for our second anniversary beer. This has probably got 7 or 8 months of aging on it already. It's called The Pleasure in the Greed, and it is 10%, 50 IBU. It's on the lighter side of a English barley wine, or on the, I guess you could say, smoother side of a American barley wine. It kind of sits in between.
Hybrid.
Yeah. But it's the first one we've ever done. I'm going to make some tweaks to it. So the next one will probably be a little bit more Englishy, I think. But
That's right.
Okay. It's still pretty Englishy, but it more so.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, we can start with whatever you guys want to do. I don't know if you want to go.
Literally, dealer's choice. You brought them. You serve them in the way you think we should be drinking them.
I'm very excited to try all of them.
Okay.
Latest flavors.
I have
first.
Tried some of them before.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
So you wanted to try this one first?
Well, it's your choice, man, but...
Okay.
Let's not try the barley wine first.
What's that?
Yeah,
let's
barley
not
wine,
do the
though.
Barley wine first.
Okay.
But
okay.
Anything else, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Let's
save the best for last.
Let's do this one first.
This is the collab with Good Buddy, the piece of pie, the piece of pecan.
Piece of pie.
And so you were saying you put real pecan pies in the mash.
I don't know what you guys... Is that normal? Or
whatever, yeah. Just...
Yeah. I'm sharing with Carnell, so it's okay.
But you had said you put real pecan pies in that.
You put real pecan pies.
And now I understand from Instagram that putting real food in beer mashes just makes the beer better all the time. That's what Instagram.
That is only true 60% of the time.
Oh my god.
What are you talking about?
But I mean, seriously, it is a common thing to see on Instagram now is brewers are putting together a pastry stout and they're chucking that pastry in their mash, and they are, you know, it's cool to see on Instagram. Like, holy shoot, there's cannoli in my cannoli stout.
Yes.
What are your thoughts, though? How much flavor does it impart? Is it useful? Is it just fun? Yeah, does anybody really know? Or are we all just making it up as we go?
I don't think we're making it up as we go, but I think it really depends on the food that you're. I think it depends on the food that you're adding to it, right? Certain, you know, some food has a little bit more punch than others, and also you can throw the food in the mash or something like that. But after it boils and ferments, then you're basically taking that. So in this case, for pecan pie. You want it to taste like the final product. Well, right. You're taking that final product and you're crushing it up and you're throwing it in the mash, and then you're hoping that all those residual sugars make their way into the wort, and then you're going to boil it, and then you're going to ferment it. So all those flavors that you had are going to change,
right?
And that's kind of what it did. We didn't really get a lot of the pecan or the pie crust kind of thing that we wanted. And so, but we did get the salt. So there is some like nice saltiness and stuff to it. And, we wanted a little bit more kick. So we got, Tim sourced out some great pecan flavoring and stuff to it. And,
I'm picking up
the nose is big.
I'm sticking my nose in this glass.
Getting a lot of vanilla in the in the nose.
Yeah, and also kind of buttery too, right? It has
getting a very rich caramely kind of thing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I made sure to call it a salted butter pecan stout because I didn't want either a beer nerd that just learned the word or another brewer going, "Oh my god, there's diacetyl in this," which is like the butter for people out there that don't know, it's a butter popcorn caramel butterscotch, like strong caramel.
I'm not really getting a lot of that.
No, but you know that. But there's a lot of people that don't. But wow.
This is really there's not a lot of sweetness in this. This is nice.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because as you're saying that you're not getting the full on pecan kicking in the mouth sort of flavor, but when you smell this beer. Like, I smell like pecan pie. Like, I smell. Yeah. And then I drink it, and like you say, it sort of balances. There's that butter, there's that salt. And like, the smelling and the drinking together, it takes you to the pecan pie right away.
The flavor and the aroma are a little tiny bit mismatched. The flavor's a little, it's not as rich and as sweet as the aroma might suggest.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got more of that roasted component, that coffee kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm. But it still has nice that.
Dry-ish.
It has that
pecan pie nutty thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Caramelly.
Like, I taste pecan for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
When I put the glass down, I'm thinking, pecan pie for sure. Like, that's absolutely what I'm getting out of this. That's my takeaway is, yes, pecan pie. Mm.
Yeah. So, I find if when you are trying to mimic a food, I think you kind of have to know what it is what the flavors you're trying to hit, and you got to understand your grain, what it is in the grain bill that does it, to bring out those flavors, and what you're doing with the hops and the yeast and all that kind of stuff, and in order to mimic it. It's not a simple matter of take this food, crush it up, let it ferment, and then it tastes like it. It's not. Sometimes that's the case.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case.
That makes total sense because Rogue down in the States.
Yeah.
In Portland, they made that beer with Powell Bookstore, and they ground up secondhand books and put in the mash. Nobody became more well read after drinking that beer.
Yeah. No shit. Well, they'll do anything, though, right?
Yeah.
The beer yeast.
Did it taste like books?
What does it taste like?
Was it dusty
like?
And stale? Like
tasted like dorks.
Wow.
Okay, Carnell, you're a teacher.
No one needs to know, Benny.
Yeah.
No, but it makes perfect sense, right? Like, I assume it's like adding an extra ingredient, an extra component to your beer. You can't just, I assume, you know, just chuck anything in there and expect to get the similar flavor on the other side.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there'd be like pizza beer.
Yeah, even if you're like using a fruit or something like that, it kind of depends on where in the process that you're using it.
Right.
So, but
But that's super cool. It's yeah. It's something I'd always wondered, so I'm glad you were able to clear that up.
I wouldn't say that this is quite a pastry stout. Like, it's not like super thick and like
it's not as sweet as I'd expect from something with that description.
Yeah, it doesn't have we didn't have lactose or anything like that in it. Even though Tim asked if we're gonna, and I was just like, no, it's not really my thing. Not to say I'll never do a big milk like a big heavy milk stout. I probably will.
Milk stout.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. But yeah, it's the kind of stout that I like, and then it has that nice flavoring and stuff to it Tim's a brilliant brewer and stuff. I'm pretty excited for the stuff they're going to have coming out of Tin House and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, it reminds me of the perfect sort of after dinner beer.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a total dessert beer.
Yeah. Oh, it smells like it could have been a pastry stout just by the nose.
Yeah, it's smooth. Yeah. It's chocolatey. It's boozy. Yeah, that's a nice little dessert aperitif finisher kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. How much do you have left? I mean, at the brewery.
Oh, we have been just a lot. It's been really popular. Mm-hmm. So we have been, we're almost out of, we're selling them as single cans. So we're almost out of single cans, and it's only been like a week or two. So
that's not bad.
It's pretty good. It's been going over great on draft and growler fills and stuff like that too. So yeah, no, it's been going over really well. People like it. So yeah.
I think you may have to revisit this one. And not that I tell you what to do, but
I was going to say, I don't have to do what you say.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
And by the way, I do listen to the show. And just because you have a stupid idea for a collab doesn't mean, hey, Silver Valley, the next collab. All right. So I'm not going to be an enabler or anything.
Okay.
All right.
But I got an idea.
What was it, like a wood chipper or something?
I don't remember.
Awesome.
Oh my.
Should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's do it. That was beautiful.
Okay.
That was beautiful, man.
So this is a supermassive black hole.
Supermassive black hole.
That's what he said.
This is
Whoa.
Alrighty. Sorry. First thing I thought of.
Whoa. So what this is a song then?
They're all song names.
Of course they are.
The pecan pie one was a song
pecan
name?
A piece of pie.
Piece of pie. Oh, yeah.
That is STP. Yeah. I was shocked, too.
STP is a band?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh. Carnell doesn't listen to music.
I don't know, man.
We have had this beer before, though, at your two-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
It smells rich.
Yep.
It smells chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbony.
I get a little bit of tobacco.
Yeah.
Yeah, that earthy kind of thing.
Yeah, this has been aging for a little bit now, I guess. So it definitely has thickened and stuff a little bit. Oh, and the bourbon has really melded in with it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely opaque.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
That is a hazy stout.
Yeah, that is a hazy stout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that is, and that's with, so that's using cold brewed coffee from our friends at Smoking Gun Coffee Roasters. They are out in Abbotsford. Pete is the one that recommended them to us. Mm-hmm. They never give us a bad product. It's really, really great. So that's their dark roast that they have.
Really?
And yeah.
It's pretty subtle, actually. The coffee's like there, but it's not like punching me in the face. It's not saying, hey, I'm coffee stoked.
Yeah. I still wanted to, I love coffee beers, but I still want them to be a coffee beer. I still want it to taste like beer, where coffee coffee is there to augment the coffee flavor and stuff and not completely take over.
Thank you.
So I do like balancing everything. So I like having the beer balanced with the coffee, balanced with the bourbon and all that kind of stuff. So
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, Randy and I were lucky enough to stop by for your anniversary, and we got to try this beer. Went home with a couple bottles,
and you guys were dressed up too.
We were dressed up. We were on our way.
We were so excited to see you. We decided to put on our best,
our Sunday best. We showed up in. It was a friend's wedding.
It was a Saturday, but we came in the Sunday best. In
Maple Ridge, it worked out really nicely, so we were able to stop by. But it's nice because as you say, everything sort of come together a little bit more because I guess that's what 3-4 months ago now.
Yeah.
And you said you had it in the tanks hanging out for a bit too.
The barley wine we had that one was like 5 or 6 months old by the time our anniversary came along.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this one was probably month of. It was probably bottled month of, but yeah, it's had some time and you kind of get the. It's kind of thickened and everything a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rich, but it's got that roast and bitterness in there. Yeah. It's all really well balanced.
It is.
I'm just super excited to have it sit in my cellar for, you know, I'm thinking a year.
Next anniversary, we should open it.
Yeah.
We've got some sitting in there.
Yeah. And actually, it's interesting story about this is that this was supposed to be our first year anniversary beer. And then whatever, there was an infection in the batch and I just couldn't get it. I don't want to bottle an infected beer. So it was kind of playing catch up a little bit. So now we had that, and then we had our barley wine as well. So now I guess I got to have 3 anniversary beers for an anniversary. I think I'm gonna cut it off at 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just too much. And they better all be like well-aged beers. Mm-hmm. So I can... But this went over really well and everything. We sold a lot of this.
It's really nice. I love the chocolate notes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can definitely think about an Imperial collaboration.
A tin house. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really nice.
I like it.
Yeah, it's rich. Those flavors are layered. They're, as you say, they're coming together.
I don't know what it is, but I can almost taste like the bean, the actual coffee bean itself.
Yeah, and what I'm getting too, and I think it's that's the tobacco, like the kind of tobacco-y flavor that you're getting.
Yeah,
I think having that coffee in there aging with those darker grains brings out like a nuttiness and stuff to it, and then it starts to get more and more complex as it starts to age. So,
and it's interesting, like I smelled tobacco, that's what the thing I got heavy on. Yeah, and I don't have a palate as good as you guys, but then when I'm drinking it, it's much more subtle.
Yeah,
I'm noticing.
Yeah, but it's like it's been a while since, well, it's been a couple months since I had this, so when you said that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And Trina's like, oh, yeah, no, this tastes like the same beer. It's just been sitting around in the bottle for a little while and doing its thing, so.
Grown up. It's more mature. It's made some mistakes. It's learned. It's ready to be a new person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful beer, and like I say, I'm excited to have this sitting in my cellar and revisit it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah.
So I think I tried this in your tap room maybe a month ago, a little more.
Yeah, and I think the bourbon's kind of come out a little bit more.
It's definitely rounded off the edges. It's definitely a lot smoother and earthier. More of the cocoa's coming out.
Well, maybe I'll maybe if I brew it for the third year anniversary, I'll brew it a little early and let it age.
It's definitely a beer that needs a little bit of time, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that was very, very good.
Yes.
And needed some coffee today too, so perfect.
Yes. Warren looked like he needed some coffee as soon as he walked through the bar.
Is it Warren's Friday?
No, not even.
Warren was learning what it's like to own a brewery today.
Yeah.
They're all Mondays. They're all Mondays.
That's right. I know. I was doing a lot of free labor today.
It's not free labor when it's your business.
I wasn't being paid, so.
It's I better do this, otherwise I'm going to have to shell out more money for someone else to do it.
To be done.
You weren't paying for it to be done.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I was saving a dollar by not having somebody else do it.
Yeah.
It was mindless bullshit labor, so
yep.
I'm perfect at that.
Well, welcome to my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, yeah. Isn't a brewer more about being a glorified janitor?
If you're just doing the brewing side, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're a co-owner, designer, social media, social media guy that goes picks up meat from the market so that you end up with your Montreal smoked meat sandwiches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying you visit the meat market often?
I do every week. I hit the meat market every week. I got a meat guy.
Well, I mean,
if that's
how you get those sandwiches, so be it.
Meat person.
Yeah. I got
it. Works out for everyone, apparently.
It does. It does. It really does.
Love it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, next.
What do you got?
Next, we got double IPA.
Oh, geez.
Or we have a barley wine.
Double IPA.
Want the double IPA?
I can tell just by looking at the bottle that it is not hazy.
Well, yeah, and I also said that.
Yeah.
He said it's a West Coast.
Yeah.
I said, as you can see.
I can tell just by looking at the bottle. You can actually see the clarity through this deep brown bottle.
Yep.
It's amazing.
That's sad that that's become amazing now.
It's not hazy, thank God.
For an IPA, to be clear, I mean, mind blown. How'd you do that?
So did you make it this clear with some fancy fining equipment or some fish guts or a centrifuge? How'd you do it? How'd you make it unhazy?
Tell us your secrets.
Through brewing practices that are hundreds of years old.
I don't understand. There must be a machine.
I think what he's saying is that he failed to add oats and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Flour.
Oats, wheat. Some kind of yeast that doesn't flocculate something. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What? You like the way it smells?
Yeah, it's almost... Oh.
Can I smell it?
It's like, I remember when beer used to smell like this.
Oh. Oh. I'm getting fruity, I'm getting caramely, I'm getting floral, I'm getting...
Yeah.
Yeah, that caramel thing's definitely there. So
for sure,
and you can see that in the color. I mean, it's not dark. It's got that amber, that deep amber kind of color.
I think so. I think the heavier caramel that you might be getting might be left over from the pecan a little bit, but it's definitely got some good malt character and stuff to it.
Yeah, it does.
Really fruity.
Yeah,
I don't taste any caramel.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. What did you say the percentage was?
What's that?
What's the percentage on this?
This is 9%.
Nine. I don't smell any booze. It doesn't smell.
No, I just had a sip. I don't get any booze at all. Do you mind? What are the hops? What's the secret? What's the recipe?
This one is...
That's exactly how you made it.
Yeah. It is. So it's Magnum at 60 for bittering, and then it's...
Whoa.
You all right?
Yeah. Those hops kick in late in the game.
Yeah. There's a lot of
I thought
of them.
It was over, and then whammo!
Yeah. No, it's Simcoe and Columbus in the boil. And then, it's Simcoe and Columbus in the boil. And then it's Simcoe, Columbus, and El Dorado for dry hopping.
There's so much tropical fruit in there.
So, yeah, it's very fruity. Definitely fruity. There's that malty component there that gives it almost like a candy
It's candy.
Like a candy fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caramelized fruit. Something like that. Like something like pan and I don't know, like a peach. Mm. Like you caramelized in a pan or something.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a blend of different styles of IPAs, flavor-wise.
Yeah, it's almost like a history of IPA.
Yes.
In a bottle. Like, and it's crazy to say that, but like you were saying that the Magnum is that like classic bittering hop, which I'm sure is taking you to that 80 IBU mark.
Yeah, it's I got into using Magnum as a bittering hop because of our friend at Gary Lowen at
Gary,
I was
Central City. Yeah,
I was when I was homebrewing and stuff. I was looking around and hitting websites of the breweries and hoping to find them where they had their, where they would list their ingredients. Like, I knew that they wouldn't, I know that they never give you the exact percentage or anything like that. But
right.
It's just like, okay.
They'll tell you, they're using hops.
Yeah.
Barley.
Yeast.
Yeah.
Some water, maybe.
And so, that's where I came about.
It was easier those days. Now it's pecan pies and lactose extract yeah. and.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I saw that for Magnum, and I'm just like, okay, and I did some reading, and it's like, okay, well, it sounds like it's a really good bittering hop, and I use it, of course. Sure enough, he was right. So, and it's
Gary was right?
He was right?
Never. Yeah. Don't let him know.
But yeah, no, it's just like a nice, super clean bittering hop, yeah. and it's a clean bitterness. It's not a harsh bitterness.
Interesting.
Which is what I really like in an mm-hmm. IPA. So yeah, and I use that for like tons of my beer, like almost all as a bittering hop for almost all the beers.
There's a little bit of a dank component in here too.
That would be the Columbus and the Simcoe.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But it's not boozy. I'm not really picking up the. Well, percentage that you're reporting.
Yeah, yeah. No, not at all. This tastes like it could be six.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. yeah.
It's, yeah, no, I mean, it is like a history of IPA, like those Magnum, like the very old school, like yeah. late, like 2009, 2010 yeah. sort of like big, heavy. And then you have the sort of newer school West Coasty, like adding the Simcoe with the Columbus. And then the Eldorado at the end seems totally like today.
Yeah.
That's a fun beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is delish.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a funny feeling that a couple of these would go down way too easy, and you could potentially get into some interesting situations.
Well, we only sell it in 12-ounce glasses.
That's a good idea.
And we have had people that were outraged by that. But there was a guy that came in that he was loving it, and he had a and he only wanted a 12-ounce.
Yeah.
Could use he was being responsible.
Right.
And he didn't look at the percentage, and he comes back and he's just like, you know, I'll get another one. And it was like and someone said like you said, we have, you know, we're really lucky, we have great staff and everything.
They're right.
Like, okay, hey, how are you getting home? Oh, I'm walking. I'm like, okay, great. Just so you know, because this is the second one and this is 9% beer. And he's like, what?
Yeah, so exactly.
He's like, okay.
You have no idea.
Yeah, and he actually had to switch gears to something else and everything.
Yeah, because, good for him.
Yeah.
Making the responsible choice.
Yeah, so he switched to our West Coast IPA.
That's 6%. I probably wouldn't have made such a responsible choice yeah. myself, but...
If yeah. I was walking, hell no.
Good for him.
Yeah, you're walking. Who cares what you drink?
Yeah. Crawling.
Yeah. No, not after two of those. Maybe after two of these.
Yeah.
So that one came out of a 650 Bomber. So I'm That's assuming right. that this was available at some point in your lounge or at local.
Yep. Yeah. So
cold beer and wines.
That's right. So yeah, the pecan stout the pecan pie stout that's only available at the tasting room.
Okay.
The supermassive, you might be able to luck out and find it at certain liquor stores, but we're talking like we only release like six cases of bombers yeah. to liquor stores at any given
it's
time.
Nothing.
And yeah, it's nothing. So if it's not gone already, it's pretty damn close. Yeah. So, and Madness, that one will be in select liquor stores. Later this week.
Is that right?
So yeah, deliveries are going out.
So I would highly recommend picking up some of this Madness. Mm-hmm. This will do you really, really well on yeah. Christmas Day. Yeah. I'm serious.
If you don't want something dark, if you want
something relatively easy to drink that's going to get you where you need to go.
Yeah,
it's
going to be your fruit juice with breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll finish you off after that turkey dinner and stuff, yeah. and you'll go into a nice nap and everything. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
this will help you get through that conversation with Aunt Marge. Yeah.
But definitely have it, definitely consume it in a safe place. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Right. So
well, then don't have it at Christmas because Christmas is never safe.
Make
right?
sure the car keys are nowhere near you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have Uber by Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Ba-dum-psh.
Yeah. Which Christmas though?
Yeah.
No.
2022.
Yeah, that's a cool beer.
Thank you. And actually,
that is delicious, Kevin. Good job.
And actually, when you were saying, it reminded me of the discussions I've been having with Warren lately because you were saying it's like a history of IPAs.
Yeah.
Speaking of history with IPAs,
yeah.
I am wanting to do, I don't know when I'm going to start doing
historical series.
Historical series where I want to start off with, because you guys' podcast actually inspired me for once, to kind of revisit like the old school IPAs and stuff. So, mm-hmm. The first one I'm going to do is an IPA circa 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So it'll probably be like 100 IBU or something yeah. stupid like that.
Sweet.
And clear.
Yeah, and clear.
All sea hops.
A palate wrecker?
All sea hops. And,
oh, can you
and
please call it palate wrecker?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'll get sued, man.
Who took
it's also
that?
Not a song.
It's actually. It's I got the song picked
Screen
out.
Flash.
I got the song picked out. I don't know. Should I say it on?
Don't give it away yet.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway. Then I do want to do another one with Warren and possibly one other collaborator of like a circa 1998 or circa 1995.
A ridiculously
like
old school.
Yeah.
Sort of a hybrid when those British recipes were being used, but we were using like Pacific Northwest style hops, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, well, they would be considered.
So a lot of crystal malts still being used.
Yeah. And I wasn't drinking around then.
That's why I want the older guys.
So you know what they taste like.
Yeah.
I know what the 2010s taste like. I don't know what the.
Things have changed.
Yeah. So I've been told it's basically if you have. If you're in the Pacific Northwest and they're serving a quote unquote English IPA that has West Coast hops in it, that's basically
that
what it
is,
tastes like.
Yes.
And I do want to also do an 1868 English IPA, the old Tetley, one of the old Tetley recipes and stuff like that. Lots of EKG.
It's super historical.
People will probably hate it, but whatever. I've always wanted to do
I'll try at least one glass.
Actually, I've got a book for you.
You want an IPA? We got
no, it's about IPA. It's worth reading. It's Pete Jackson. Do you know Pete Jackson?
I've heard the name.
He's a British beer writer.
Yep.
He's won a bunch of awards because they give awards for beer writing in the UK. He must give an award for everything. But anyways, I really enjoyed the book. It's a great book, but he tries to recreate brew a beer in Burton, because Burton's where
they got some crazy brewing water.
Anyways, he tried to do the circumnavigation that a IPA would take to get to India, but there's a lot about the beers that they were producing then as well.
There's another guy, he's been on the Beersmith podcast and stuff.
Pete Brown, maybe, sorry.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of his podcast. It's like Don't Tell Me About I can't remember the name of his blog.
Don't Drink Beers.
No, it's not Don't Drink Beers.
That guy's a good one.
Yeah, but he's very British and very opinionated, which you know that narrows it down. But yeah, he has a lot of historical recipes and stuff like that of like a lot of the British beers and stuff. So he actually even has scans of the original brew logs too.
Wow. Oh wow!
So you can see one of them showed from like 1860 to 1870, and you can see it would still have the specific gravity and the amount of hops and stuff that it used, and the specific gravity went down, and the actual hops per
was going up.
What was going up and stuff like that. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting stuff. Huh. Anyway. But
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So that's something. Keep an eye for that. And it's kind of a don't keep too much of an eye, but we'll announce it when we got it.
Yeah. I guess before we jump over, what the hell is this song Madness?
Well, as you can see,
I was
in a bit of a Muse kick. So Supermassive Black Hole and Madness are both songs by Muse.
That's why I don't know Muse very well. Okay, that makes sense.
If you're not familiar with the band, start off with the song Hysteria. It and I'm a bass player.
Def Leppard
song? No. I think that was an album, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hysteria.
But start off with that song, and I'm a bass player. It's probably got one of the best bass lines that featured in that and out there. So it's probably one of the best rock bass lines out there. So
I thought Supermassive Black Hole was like a. I thought it was Soundgarden or something.
That's Black Hole Sun.
That's Black. How old are you, man?
7.
Get off this show.
Yeah, I think your lack of age is showing here.
Yeah.
Oh, it does a lot.
He's 30.
I'm 30.
Yeah. I was
born that's enough to 80s. Make a difference.
We introduced him to beats.
Yeah. And now the verbal beats still go out once in a while.
I thought it was just a music thing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's okay, man. Us Hufflepuffs get beaten up on a lot.
Still have the best parties.
You are a listener.
He was there.
He said it right to my face.
Oh, that's right.
It's basically like
that was the on location.
Yeah, it was
a whole Hogwarts discussion at Silver Valley.
It basically boils down to, hey, you know that one loser house that everyone makes fun of and everything? Right. You're it.
But they're actually pretty cool. That and wasn't here's
my
why.
Art. Yeah. The biggest backpedal you've ever seen.
My argument was if Gryffindor is busy saving the world,
dude, don't.
And Ravenclaw is busy getting A's, and Slytherin is busy trying to screw everyone's day up, then Hufflepuffs must be the only ones having parties and having fun,
right?
Oh man,
I'm saying them. Right. No, I'm not gonna say it.
You guys, we're gonna get a cease and desist. You guys are gonna get a cease and desist from Warner Brothers any minute now.
If we do,
that would be awesome. Oh my god, we could tell people.
If we do, we could just claim that J.K. Rowling listens to the podcast.
Totally,
she's down with it.
J.K. Rowling's most hated podcast.
She'll never listen to it, so we'll never have to worry about it.
That's right.
Yeah. It'll be
fine. No way to prove it.
All right.
Last one. So we're going to finish off with the barley wine, are we?
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll finish me off.
All right. Do we need a rinse or anything? Or?
No.
Nah. No?
Whatever.
Okay. This is gone.
What are we judging here? Are we filling out sheets?
I am going to hide my
You're not yet?
No. How does this one do in the BC Beer Awards?
mediocre for reasons I gave that I was talking about before, which is two on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They like it. You guys like it one way or another.
I wasn't involved this year. Okay. I did not do any judging this year. Sorry. You cannot blame me.
And we didn't win anything this year. Weird. You want more than that? Or?
Yeah, please.
Well, it was interesting. When I recently shut down my personal blog to pursue other opportunities. I don't know. I got sick of writing it. But in any case, in doing so, I was like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to post, like, for anybody who comes to it, the things, like, I think you should read if you're ever going to read Brewart Inlet. And I came back to my article that got a lot of discussion going about, I think the title was, Beer Awards are Stupid and You Should Stop Caring About Them.
Well, that's what people say. That's what a lot of us say when we don't win an award.
People thought it was a title. It was actually a direct quote. Yeah. But no, it was funny because there was a discussion from some people in there who ran the BC Beer Awards and people who, what's it called? Who actually do the judging.
Yeah.
And that was like the back and forth. Like it was some people saying like, yeah, you know, for those of you who don't know, beer awards are judged on BJCP, which means you're judged
against a style. So the major flaw there is that we're judging to a style, right? So if your beer is not of a specific style and you haven't brewed it to a specific style, then don't expect it to do well. You're not going to get good points.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the argument from some of the people was, then people are using the guidelines too strictly because we shouldn't, you should still have the best beer, the best tasting beer should still win regardless.
That's not true, though, because of the way we're judging to style. You can have the best beer ever made on the planet Earth, but if it doesn't fit into a style, or if you enter it into the wrong style, then it's not going to do well, and that's, you know, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even though that discussion sort of died down, I'd say, in the last couple of years, because I don't know who
you stopped harping on it. No,
I stopped harping on
you know
it.
What?
Well, your blog is gone now.
My blog is dead. Nobody cares. Dead as a doorknob.
So what you're saying is they took it down.
Nobody cared before.
It's just
that discussion always pops up. And you get guys like Adam Chatburn who don't believe in it and stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand both sides of it. I really do. But as a BJCP judge, I think there's some validity to what we do. But I also believe that what we do is geared more towards brewers and helping the brewers improve on their right. on what they're doing.
And, right. and I will say on that note, because well, you've had a I know, Warren, you've had a lot of my beer over time and everything.
Yeah.
And when I particularly English beers.
Yeah.
I'm very particular. I want it to be. I am book smart on.
You want an authentic.
I'm book smart on
English style.
Yeah, I'm book smart on English beers, but I'm not street smart on them, and that is where the BJCP comes in really handy because I've had a good one before.
Yeah.
And I want to replicate that and also put my own spin on it, but right. I still want it to be authentic.
Sure.
So where do I go for that? The BJCP is great for providing me for someone that's never been to the UK before.
Yeah.
It provides me and for vice versa too. When they're trying to replicate like a West Coast IPA, which is now taken off over
you
there.
Bet.
You know, it and or down in apparently South America is like a big one. They're
up and coming
they
now.
Really relied on BJCP to replicate what was going on in North America. So it is really important for someone like me, and I do want a world class like the ESB. I'm still tweaking,
yeah,
and it's gotten better, but I want it to be a world class ESB.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I do that? I do conform to certain guidelines, and it has made it a better beer,
mm-hmm.
and more people have enjoyed it and everything, and I enjoy it more. So mm-hmm. There is something to be said. So. To add validity to what Warren is saying, from a brewer's perspective, everyone loves Warren. That's not true. but from a brewer's perspective, that does get judged on that and everything. I really do appreciate it. But other beers, I throw that out the window. like I know, I know Supermassive, like our coffee bourbon stout. I wasn't sure what category to put it in. Right. I think I put it in the spice category. And who knows?
It could be up against any kind of weird addition.
And it did well. It did pretty good. But I kind of figure that something like our barley wine, I personally kind of like it. I still have any of the beers I want to tweak. But I'm like, I'll probably do mediocre because it's kind of on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
The aroma on this
slide back into
wine.
The barley wine, then the pleasure and the greed.
The aroma on this barley wine is fantastic. I'm picking up those nice fruity, like dark fruit, raisin and things like that.
And it's gotten
right off the bat. But right behind it comes in that nutty, caramely, malty, grainy.
Interestingly, I used to get a lot more of of that sherry oxidation and stuff off of it a couple of months ago. And
it's
now
calmed down a bit.
It's calmed down a little bit, and now those thick caramel notes are starting to come back now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, I totally
smells
see
fantastic.
What you mean that it straddles that line, and that's probably why I didn't do well in that prior discussion of BC, or didn't do as well as it, you know, maybe we think it should. But yeah, it really nicely straddles that line to my taste. Because the English barley wine is sort of that treacly, fruit, like dark fruit.
Well, this
not
is super
molassesy almost.
Molasses, yeah, those sort of flavors. And then that West, or the American.
Can be really bitter sometimes. Yeah,
basically, but, just like you've described as a triple IPA sat in a cellar for too long.
Well, right off the bat, I like that the body's not too heavy, it's not too thick, and it's not syrupy or sweet.
Yeah. It definitely has some fruit notes that you'd get almost more of a... Some of the IPAs these days, though, not just the dark fruits. It's got some
sharpness to it, and that's something. And there are some lighter English barley wines that does have a little bit more of like a sharp bitterness to it. But yeah, it's not that traditional English barley wine where it should be more of like a bit of a heavier or more complex caramel. Or toffee flavors and stuff, right?
But it's not that American bitter bomb either, which is barely a barley wine.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I'm still getting sort of that suggestion of sherry, you know, that
yeah, because it's so fruity. It's got that maraschino, that sweet cherry kind of flavor and aroma to it.
Yeah. But that's a nice addition to barley wine. That's why really people age them for so long, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
That is delish.
I got to say, this would be, I mean, like, this has been a superb flight, man.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
You don't often get Warren say that it's superb or anything. It's usually like,
you know what?
Well, not on a podcast.
No.
To my face, though.
I'll be 100% honest here. It's pretty rare that I get a stinker from Kevin.
Yeah. Totally. I'm just bugging you because you definitely. Well,
that's why I force feed him a pumpkin spice latte every year. I already know
he
what they're.
Force fed him a few.
Oh, I know.
Did you hear the last one?
I did.
As soon as what's it called? I'm holding him to this freezer and we'll get started. I'm gonna. He said he would do a collab pumpkin spice latte beer with me.
I burst out for the show. I don't know which beer it was, and I felt bad for the brewer that made it. But when I heard the and everything,
it was really bad. Laughing
because I've seen the face that goes along with that before. Because I think that was when you had either our pumpkin spice or our chai or our. Chocolate mint.
It was probably chocolate mint.
Yeah.
Listen,
it was the chocolate mint. It was the chocolate mint. It was good. So good.
Chocolate mint. I agree. He's terrible. He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
awful human. But also,
I thought you agreed that it wasn't good.
As a brewer, because I know what the response is going to be. Yeah. I'm like, he's going to hate this. And I'm going to make him drink it anyway because I want that reaction. It's great.
But despite him being a terrible person, that beer we tried was a worse beer than Warren as a person.
I feel bad for the brewers. I'm sure they tried very, very hard.
Yes.
You know what?
That's a big assumption.
It's hard work, man. You haven't done a lot of it yet, but you will.
Yes, you will soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like the problem with anything is you get a can from halfway, well, not halfway, across the continent. Who knows what life that beer lived?
Right.
You know,
right.
It could have had, you know, forgetful parents who, you know, latchkey kid beer.
It was on the dashboard.
You know, it spent some time getting light. I don't know. It got real hot, and then it got real cold.
It couldn't have been in a border warehouse, customs warehouse for months with no.
That
no
beer,
temperature control.
That beer could have lived lives.
It froze and thawed.
Exactly.
And cooked. And
but we know this beer didn't because it came from down the road. And
down the road.
Down a very long road.
Quite a 45 minute road.
Quite a few left and rights. Yeah. Maybe some straight stretches too.
Yeah, it was an adventure getting here too because I did the whole just plunk in the address on my GPS, and then just see what happens, and just go with whatever.
Nice.
And I was completely relying on my GPS because I was just like, "Where the heck am I going?"
Yeah.
But
fun time. Steer you wrong, dude.
Yeah, it was one of those routes that takes you through all the back roads.
Yeah.
So you're completely disoriented. But yeah.
Yeah, this area does that a lot.
It's funny though, because like we're in Metro Vancouver, obviously, but Mike's place is like, you know, fairly close to like geographic center of Metro Vancouver.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's also like, whoa, where am I?
Never seen this part before. Yeah.
Like, you know, like
there's trees here.
Well, yeah. But that's like, it's like everything. It's like all of Vancouver in one place. There's like office buildings, there's towers, there's a park. There's houses,
condos,
SkyTrain. There's a school. Yeah. You're like
you can see the river.
Near, yeah, it's like near the river, near the ocean.
It's like the city planner just went sure to any kind of suggestion that threw out.
We've got a grab bag of all this city stuff. What bits do you want? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool though. It must be
So, do you have any other than the IP series you're going to work on? Do you have any other things coming out that you want to kind of let people know?
Well, it's that time of year, so it is Christmas season
down the valley.
Down in the valley, well, everywhere.
Does that mean the Silver Valley?
Does that mean the candy cane stout's coming out soon?
No, I'm not doing a candy cane stout. and that's a chocolate mint stout, and that'll be in February.
Girl Guide cookie stout. Hey, that's what it is.
Hey, people love it.
And
it was tasty.
Yeah, and so I'll keep making things that people love.
I'll keep drinking it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have our...
Warren won't.
So we'll have our Don't Shoot Me Santa Chai Milk Stout coming out, which is always really popular.
With lactose?
Of course. Well, it is a milk stout.
It's a chai
milk stout. Well, you said I don't like lactose. So you're not a big fan.
No, okay. Okay, I should be more specific.
No IPA lactose.
I'll probably do a milkshake IPA at one time.
Do it.
You have done one, haven't you?
I haven't. I have done one.
Yeah.
It was a pale ale, though. But
oh, okay.
Pale ale IPA, whatever.
Yeah. It was still a milkshake.
Called him out. I'll never say never. Thank you for keeping me honest.
So yeah. Was it pale ale because the alcohol content was a little lower than you expected? No.
No. It was a plan from the get-go. And it was Taillight's fault.
throwing him under the bus.
No. Goldwyn did an amazing job on that. That actually went over really, really well. That was a great beer. Don't Shoot Me Santa, Chai Milk Stout, which is really popular every year. Then we also have our Frozen Pond, which is our English Strong.
So
that's been aging for about a month now, so that'll be hitting bottles next week, I think. So those will be in limited release to select local liquor stores, and then Maple Ridge, the city of Maple Ridge, they have their Santa
that would be a good festival.
Their Santa parade on December 7th.
Yeah.
And if everything goes to plan, we'll have a special beer for that. It's called Great Big Sled, and it is a gingerbread Scottish export.
Gingerbread Scottish export.
Yeah.
Ooh,
sounds good to me.
It's going to be a hint of gingerbread. It's not overpowering or anything, but the ginger is definitely.
You go for the raw ingredients there. You got like the ginger root and that kind of thing going on.
Absolutely not. No.
I just threw some gingerbread in.
I didn't do that either. Okay. I went. I found a gingerbread spice recipe, and I hit up a local supermarket. And just made the mix and stuff and added it to the foil.
So it was basically from the raw ingredients, the spices.
Yes, the spices, yeah.
But a blend of.
Yeah, the blend of. Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this. Sorry to hijack the conversation. You mentioned like an English Strong for the holidays.
Yeah.
Hells yeah.
Yeah, that sounds... So
have you had that one before?
I don't think so. But no? Benny and I were just down in Bellingham.
It's a nice style.
We were having one of their sort of like their winter beer. And I know winter beer is not an actual style. People just chuck winter in front of beer. It's sort of like those flavors that evoke a feeling of winter.
Throw some vanilla.
It's an idea. It's not a place.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Did I? It sounds like I broke your brain a little bit.
it was already there, I think.
It's called Frozen Ponds and English Strong. We've had it for quite some. We've had it actually even the first winter that we were open.
Mm-hmm.
We've been making it, and it is it's honestly a style that you don't really find a lot of them around. Mm-hmm. They're hard to find. And when someone first tries it, they don't really get it. Mm-hmm. because it's for something that is actually a pretty simple beer, it confuses a lot of people because they don't know what to make of it. It's not, it's kind of like a barley wine, but it's not a barley wine. And it has like some brown ale qualities, but it's not quite a brown ale quality.
Yeah.
It's aged. I don't know what to do with that kind of flavor. So, whether you call it an English strong or a British strong or an old ale, they're all very, very similar. Ours is more along the line of like an old ale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little bit of that blackstrap treacle. In it and everything. So, and that's one of the flavors that some people don't really know what to do with because they're like, there's like a gingerbread coffee kind of thing going on and it's a weird aftertaste and I don't know what that is because I'm just used to regular beer.
It sounds like you got to market this to, you know, people who go to Starbucks and grab coffee and gingerbread.
Maybe.
Are you talking about Pumpkin spice latte girls? What are you talking about? Or gingerbread latte?
I'm not prejudiced.
Interestingly, I was told that there's actually a pretty big Welsh population in the area. Mm. And they're when it comes out, there's quite a few that come out of the woodwork and everything, and that are just like down. That are like, this is like winter at home.
Nice. Yeah. Mm. That's awesome.
It very much sounds like something I get behind. It sort of, yeah, I've spent a few winters in the UK, and, you know, the Christmas desserts sometimes get made fun of here in certain circles, but the Christmas desserts are always sort of, like, built around that thick molasses, treacly, rich caramelized sugar flavors.
And a lot of people around here don't even know what treacle is.
No.
That's true.
It's like molasses. No, not really. No. It's like an inverted sugar. Yeah. It's a really thick molasses-y inverted sugar.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, and it's actually, I would probably say it's definitely a local favorite that people definitely, and even non-Welsh and non-English really love it and everything too, locally. And we, but
year round beer.
No, it's not. But yeah, so it's not an overly sweet, but it's got a nice caramel backbone and toffee to it. It's got like a little bit of chocolate. It's got that little bit of treacle. I backed off the treacle a little bit this year just to back off that gingerbread flavor that weirded some people out. Mm-hmm. I usually age it about a month before. I package it and everything. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So when can we maybe expect to see this one?
Well, I am hoping
when it's ready.
Yeah. You'll get it.
If it's July, I'll be upset.
No, I want to have it for beginning of December, mid December at the very latest.
So awesome. I'm very excited about this beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet deal.
And the labels look pretty cool too.
Nice.
Yeah.
They always do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for keeping us up to date with what you're doing out there. I mean, I've always been pretty impressed with what you're doing out there, Kevin. And what you brought us today, fantastic.
Thank you very
much.
Good
stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll close this out by saying thanks to our Patreon supporters. You can find us on patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. You'll get early access to episodes. And ad-free, some of our episodes end up having ads before them, and that's gone when you get a Patreon subscription. And you can also get shirts and stickers and things like that.
So can I get Patreon skateboards?
I think you can, actually.
Sweet.
If not, I can change that and make it happen.
I haven't discussed this with you, Mike, but I think as a Patreon subscriber, they should also have an opportunity to come to like a bottle share or an episode.
Ooh. We can maybe do that. We can talk about that for sure. That
would be a cool thing to
do. A fun meetup.
So we'll look into that too. So shout out to our Patreon supporters, Indie Beer Show out of California, and Steve. Thanks for tuning in.
Cheers. You rock, Steve.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.